Who takes their secretary to a working dinner at a freaking bed and breakfast? I asked aloud as I sped down Great Mississippi River Road in Louisiana plantation country. I didn't usually talk to myself, but the stress of the situation more than justified it. I mean, what's wrong with a restaurant in the French Quarter? People travel from all over the world to eat there. I steered my 1965 cherry red Mustang convertible out from behind the 18-wheeler to make sure the black BMW was still up ahead. As soon as I'd spotted it, I dropped back behind the hulking truck. I couldn't let Bradley know I was following him. Bradley Hartman was the president of Pontchartrain Bank on Canal Street in New Orleans. With his shocking blue eyes, full lips, and chiseled jaw, he was without a doubt the sexiest bank executive this side of the Mason-Dixon line. And he was mine. We'd been seeing each other for the past 3 months, ever since his divorce was finalized. Okay, maybe we started seeing each other a bit before then, but that was an accident, I promise. The problem was, now that his ex-wife was out of the way, his sexy new Chinese-French secretary was in the way. All 6 feet of her. And at 5'10" myself, I wasn't used to looking up to a woman. Especially not one as low down as Pauline Violette. She did everything she could to keep me away from Bradley, including scheduling these weekend working dinners at bed and breakfasts outside of town. And judging from the way she batted her violet almond-shaped eyes at him, it was clear why. How is it even possible that her eye color matches her last name? I asked as I hit the gas. Her boobs are clearly man-made, so those eyes have to be too. I glanced out the passenger window to try to catch another glimpse of Bradley's BMW, and a flash of pink caught my eye. But it wasn't the coral pink hue of the thousands of oleanders that framed a stunning three-story columned plantation home. It was the pink crinoline skirt of the woman standing on the balcony. It was a hauntingly beautiful image, like something you'd see in an old oil painting. Unfortunately, the road started to curve sharply, but I was too busy staring at the Southern Belle to notice. My tires hit the soft shoulder, and I jerked the steering wheel hard to the left. But it was too late. My car slid sideways right into a swamp. "Mamma mia," I exclaimed as I realized what had happened. And I did want my mother, because when I restarted the engine and tried to drive to land, I discovered that I was stuck in the filthy swamp mud. I threw open my car door, mentally whispered a farewell to my new boots, and stepped into the black swamp water. I trudged around to the back of the car and saw that the rear passenger tire was the problem. I needed to find some wood or stones to put beneath it to try to gain traction. Just as I was about to turn around and head for shore, I made a horrifying discovery. The water was moving. That's when a bumpy black reptile lifted its moss-covered head above the surface of the murky swamp water, and I came face to face with an alligator. The unsightly beast opened its toothy, cavernous mouth and made a loud hissing sound. Make that an angry alligator.
"Good gator," I stammered, frozen with fear.
The alligator lowered its head back into the water and began swimming in a circle, its large, cat-like eyes trained on me like the sight of a gun.
"Nice boy, Al," I said as I began inching backward through the watery, foul-smelling mud.
In case the alligator decided to charge at me, I needed to make it to the driver's side taillight to have a clear shot at the open car door.
"Or maybe you're an alley?"
As though confirming my suspicion, she slapped her tail hard against the surface of the water. I estimated her to be around 6 feet in length, precisely Pauline's height. Then I promptly reminded myself that during my rookie cop days in Austin, Texas, I'd once tackled a male ostrich that was getting frisky with some mothers at a petting zoo. Plus, I'd seen the Gator Boys and the Swamp Men wrestle alligators on TV. So I figured that I could take her if push came to shove, or thrust came to lunge. Allie stopped near the stump of a bald cypress tree and opened her mouth, revealing 80 or so 2-inch-long yellow teeth.
"Okay, maybe not."
I took another step backward, and she resumed circling.
"That's right, girl. Just keep swimming,"